We're continuing our look at the Macedonian church and how they were an example to the church in Corinth and also an example to us. Last week, we started to discover the giving heart and what that looks like from looking at this example of the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We can notice three different aspects or characteristics of a given heart, giving heart. Last week, we looked at how a giving heart gives joyfully because the identity of that person when they give is in Jesus. And out of the beauty of being forgiven and being given purpose through Christ, there's a joy that flows out of that person, and they can't just help but give out of that joy. And we began to light up almost, like our heart decided to light up this week on stage. Last week I said I stayed up till 5 a.m. working on that. I did not stay up till 5 a.m. making sure lights worked in this thing. That light, that joy, it flows out of who we are so that other people can see it. But giving joyfully, that's not the end result of a giving heart. There are other characteristics that make a giving heart complete. Giving joyfully is just one part of a giving heart in the example we see in the Macedonian church. And today we're going to talk a little bit about giving with a selfless heart. This is a characteristic that is focused more in regard to others and less on oneself. As we look at the life of Jesus, we looked at his final week a couple weeks ago. We see him giving of himself as an example of selflessness. And the greatest example, of course, is him dying on the cross for our sins. That was a selfless act done on Jesus' part for all of mankind. And if we look at the teachings and example that he set for his disciples when he taught them and the things that he did, we see that Jesus taught this thing called a theology of humility. That is, he believed that servanthood is greater than kingship. And we'll look at this a little bit later on, but the main idea behind the theology of humility is that a person lives a selfless life because they realize the importance of others. And so that mentality is echoed in the two churches that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. The church in Corinth, they had everything they needed. And the church in Macedonia, they struggled to meet their needs. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the church in Corinth to encourage them to be like this church in Macedonia. And so as Paul writes this letter, the church in Corinth had promised to give financially to help fellow churches that were in need. So Paul writes to call in that favor and to help encourage them and kind of give them a little push. He shares about the church in Macedonia giving beyond their ability and giving selflessly. While we don't agree with probably everything he says, the Dalai Lama understood this idea of giving selflessly when he said, "It is under the greatest adversity that there exists the greatest potential for doing good, both for oneself and for others." Now, there are several things that we can learn from the Macedonian church giving selflessly. Last week, we learned about the need to give joyfully because we have been given more than we need through Jesus' sacrifice and more than we deserve as well. One thing that stands out to me as I read through these first five verses in 2 Corinthians 8 is how the church in Macedonia reacted to tough times. Growing up, my dad loved to watch Western movies. I'm sure some of you in here are the same way. And really, the way that my dad worked with Western movies is the less color involved in the TV, the more my dad loved them. Black and white cowboy movies were the cream of the cowboy movie crop. Now, in a lot of these movies, you would have cowboys helping people in, say, a wagon train who are traveling somewhere to maybe claim a plot of land. That's kind of a common theme through some of them. And along the way, the wagon train meets all kinds of difficulties. People get sick. Maybe they run out of food. This kind of, for those of you that are closer to my age, this sounds like Oregon Trail, if you ever played Oregon Trail. All right. You know, maybe somebody gets, I can't know. The only one that's coming to my head is when you get so sick that you can't eat and you die in Oregon Trail. I don't know. Maybe one of the wagons breaks down, or one of the cattle or the horses or something dies, and it kind of just slows everything down. But and this happens in every movie of this caliber, black and white cowboy movie. This happens every movie. The worst thing that can happen is when the Indians attack the wagon train. Worst thing possible. And so, of course, can anybody tell me what the wagon train does? They circle the wagons, okay? Circle the wagons. They get everything important, everybody in the middle, all the goods in the middle, and then you've got your guys with their lever pump-action rifles standing in between with the, you know, shooting at the Indians as they go by. They circle these wagons to protect everybody that they can. And usually, when things get tough for us, when we're getting attacked relentlessly, our mentality is for us to do what the wagon train does and circle the wagons and protect the things we value. If we look at the church in Macedonia where things were difficult, they didn't do this. Let's look at verses 2 and 3 in 2 Corinthians 8. In the midst of a very severe trial, worse than Indians attacking their wagon train, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Imagine if the church in Macedonia had said, well, things are getting a little bit difficult for us. We know other churches are going to give towards this thing. We're one of the churches that really should be getting this money, not giving it. I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to pass right now on giving. Could you imagine what Paul would have wrote about them to the Corinthians if they had did that? Instead, the Macedonian church, it teaches us that we need to be willing to fight this circle the wagon mentality that can creep up on us. Selfless giving, it shows how you react when times are tough for you. I'm not sure why we have the idea in our head that we need to take care of ourselves when things are rough, and then when we bounce back, we'll have time to help other people and give to God. A lot of times, focusing on yourself, it doesn't even help solve the problem at all. Instead, giving when it's hard, it shows our willingness to realize that our life isn't about us. It's not about these earthly, temporary issues that we're dealing with. It's about loving God, others so much that we're willing to give at our own expense for their sake. The church in Macedonia, they understood this. We talked last week about how they understood that the church is one body with many different members, different parts of the body, and when one part suffers, the entire body suffers. Giving when faced with tough times is hard. But giving with purpose and for a reason makes it easier. I'm a sucker for a good emotional commercial. I'm also a sucker for Super Bowl commercials. Like, what was the one? Was it baby, puppy, what?
Monkey.
Puppy, monkey, baby. Whew. I thought, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Why am I laughing at this? But it was hilarious. All right, but I'm a sucker for a good emotional commercial. Now, I'm not going to sit down when this commercial comes on and boo-hoo, but, you know, it hits you right in the feels and makes you want to, in this case, buy life insurance in Thailand. So we'll go ahead and watch this commercial.
ขาจะไม่ได้อะไรเลยไม่ได้รวยขึ้นไม่ได้ออกทีวีไม่มีใครรู้จักไม่ได้มีชื่อเสียงที่มากขึ้นเพราะสิ่งที่เขาได้คือได้แค่ความรู้สึกได้เห็นความสุขได้เข้าใจได้ความรักได้ในสิ่งที่เงินซื้อไม่ได้ได้โลกที่สวยงามกว่าเดิมในชีวิตคุณอะไรคือสิ่งที่คุณต้องการมากที่สุด
ไทยประกันชีวิตเชื่อในความดี
What a great commercial, right?Don't you just want Thai life insurance right now? Holy cow! I don't know what in the world that has to do with life insurance, but good grief. Woo. What do you desire most out of life? I don't know if you could read the captions in that. What do you desire most out of life is what it says. My favorite part of that is when the guy looks through his wallet every time when he's getting ready to give that little girl some money to help her with her education.If that's the first time watching it, you're probably like that other guy that sees him doing it and thinks, man, that guy's a sucker. He's getting taken. But the faith and trust that he shows in his fellow man, it's amazing. And I think part of that is that generosity flows from a heart of self-sacrifice, not self-preservation. In the commercial, the man gives not because he has excess. In fact, as you see, when he opens up his wallet, he takes everything he's got out of there. And he doesn't know what's going to be done with it. He just knows that there's a need for somebody, and he wants to give at his own expense for their benefit. And because of that, he's blessed. Was he blessed with more food, more money, fame, being on TV, better living conditions? No.But he got to see the fruit of his generosity. He got to see the woman whose cart he helped push up over the bump every day give extra to somebody else because he gave to her. Got to see the little girl get an education because he gave. He got to see his neighbor eat because he gave. A dog became his friend.Because he unwisely gave it a chicken bone. I don't know how it didn't die. He got to see the fruit of his generosity, though. In Hebrews 11, we're given examples of people who made personal sacrifices in order to trustfully be obedient to God. This is called the faith chapter, the heroes of faith.We're just going to look at a couple of them, and then we'll look at the beginning of chapter 12.Hebrews 11, 8 through 9, we see this sacrifice that Abraham makes. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. That sounds like a lot of us men, doesn't it? Yeah. We had to trust Kevin Friday, but really we were trusting Melissa because she knew the right way to go because she looked at three different places on the internet.By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Hebrews 11, 24 through 28, we see this sacrifice that Moses made. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son. I don't know what I'm doing. as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's household, not as necessarily Pharaoh's son, but as somebody adopted into the household. So he got the benefits of that. He gave that up. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ, somebody he didn't even know. Jesus came along way after Moses. But Moses sacrificed for the sake of Christ. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Abraham gave up everything he knew and went wandering in the desert to try to find the promised land, the place God promised him. Moses gave up living in luxury to be with God's people because he loved them. In Hebrews 12, 2 through 3, we see the sacrifice of Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Abraham, because he fully trusted God, gave up everything and everybody he knew and went where he was told to go. Moses, because he fully trusted God, stood up against the oppression of his people and helped liberate them to God's chosen place for them. Jesus, because he fully trusted his Father, died on a cross because he knew it would help fix this mangled, broken relationship between God and man. These three men understood, and a lot of people in the Bible did as well, that we don't give so we can get. We don't give so we can get. The reason they were willing to sacrifice everything important to them, even their lives in Jesus' sake, was because they understood the need to be a servant. This is that theology of humility that we spoke about before. Now, theology is just a big word for what you believe about God. This is Jesus teaching his disciples that being the greatest, the most powerful, the most prestigious, what they were arguing over is not what is important. What is important is a willingness to give selflessly. That's why he got down on his hands and knees, dressed in servant's clothes, and washed the dirty, dusty, disgusting feet of the people that he was teaching. Jesus' theology of humility includes things like Matthew 19:30, where he says, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Or in Matthew 23:11, he says, "The greatest among you will be your servant." This goes against everything in our human nature. Everything in our human nature tells us that we should expect the best and the greatest for ourselves. This is that country club living mentality that we talked about last week. The idea that you get something really great because you're paying for it. I deserve the best. Before moving here, I worked in a movie theater, an upscale movie theater. And what they did is they served food inside the theater. You could sit down. You'd show up 30 minutes before your movie was supposed to start. And you'd sit down and you could order wings, nachos, steak, salmon, salad, dessert, that kind of thing while you watched a movie. Working in that type of environment, you run across a lot of people who are all over the spectrum. I had people that didn't have enough money to be there, and their credit card, their debit card got declined. I had people that could be there. I served lesbians, served bikers. That was a fun one. They decided to show up right when we were about to close. But I was real nice to him, mainly because I was afraid. I've served famous basketball players. Allen Iverson came in there. We had a couple of Virginia Tech graduates who happened to be in the NFL come in. So famous sports players, normal white-collar people, normal blue-collar people, the weird movie fans that dress up, So on and so forth. We had one lady, though, that nobody would serve because her attitude and how she treated my coworkers. This lady was called Popcorn Chicken Lady. She got a nickname, Popcorn Chicken Lady. Popcorn Chicken Lady, she came to our establishment quite often. Usually, she would come every weekend for some movie or other. She would bring her kids sometimes, her husband sometimes, and she would order the same thing, a grilled chicken BLT with fries. And instead of a grilled chicken, she would demand popcorn chicken. That's why she was Popcorn Chicken Lady. Now, we weren't supposed to do this for people. I don't know why they did it the first time, but she got it the first time, and so she demanded that she get it every time. Well, you did it for me once. And you don't dare put ketchup on Popcorn Chicken Lady's plate, or she'll yell at you. She didn't want ketchup. As soon as some of my co-workers saw her in the theater, they would make sure that they wouldn't take her order. They would run over to somebody else. And so I usually got stuck taking Popcorn Chicken Lady's order. She was rude. She was demanding. She believed that because she was the paying customer, she should get what she wanted, and if she didn't like it, she should fuss until she got what she wanted. Which, in that case, is okay, because she's paying for it. But folks, that type of mentality should never enter our lives as followers of Christ. Our lives as people who say we believe Jesus died for us should be an example for others of what it looks like to have that forgiveness. It's why when Nate's medicine wasn't ready down here at Citizens for 3 days, I didn't pitch fit. I just kept checking back. He wasn't going to die if he didn't get that medicine. If he was, we'd just get his prescription and go somewhere else and get it. There's no need to ruin any chance you have to share the good news of who Jesus is because of selfish demands. Instead, we need to be ready and willing to be selfless. We need to be servants. Our lives aren't focused on what we're getting from somebody, but they should be focused on who we're giving to. That's where our joy comes from. That's where generosity comes from. And giving selflessly, it's rewarding. It's rewarding because we give without expectations. And when we give without expectations, we start to learn that, hey, maybe I shouldn't expect so much from other people. Maybe I shouldn't be so demanding. Maybe I should be a little bit more understanding. And so we give generously, sacrificially, and selflessly because we have this joy of Jesus working in our lives. The vision here at this church is to help the community discover and explore the truth of God's love. We can't do that if we place unhealthy expectations on our community. If we give to the community, we can't expect anything back. That's not giving selflessly. That's not giving sacrificially. We have to be willing to give to them at our own expense because it provides us with the opportunity to have that real, honest conversation about why we follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the blessing you have given us, the sacrifice, the selfless giving of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. I pray, God, that we realize that Jesus is an example for us. Jesus is who we should strive to be like. And that means we need to have this humility that he had, this willingness to serve others at our own expense, to give at our own expense, to not have expectations for our benefit. I thank you, God, for the great work that this congregation has done through the years. The people they've reached out to, the good they've done for this community. I pray, God, that we continue to do that. And that we continue to do that with a selfless heart. That we continue to give with a selfless heart. It's my prayer, God, that if there's anybody here today struggling with where their heart's at, they just are confused, hurt, that they'd feel free to let us be able to pray for them. Let us be able to encourage them. that they'd say, this church understands what it means to follow Jesus. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of Jesus. And I pray, God, that if there's somebody that wants to do that, that they would feel free to come forward today. And we can start this conversation about what it means to love Jesus enough to sacrifice for him and for others. It's in his name I pray. Amen.